Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 51 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and my pal Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing okay. I'm just resting with my iPad at the moment.
You've had a few technical issues.
Google are doing funny things with Google Docs.
You've had a confused look on your face for the last 20 minutes or so. I didn't want to say anything.
I'm confused.com.
How are you doing? How's your week been?
Good. I've finished my detox.
Yeah, you're back on proper food and all that, eh?
Yeah. System's having coffee. Interesting responses, because having been on fluids for a while and going back onto solids is interesting.
Yeah, I can imagine.
They tend to move pretty quickly through your system, which is good. But I had my first glass of wine at the weekend.
Ah, sure.
Well, it wasn't even a glass. It was half a glass.
I heard about this, actually. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. It just knocked me sideways.
It's made the news.
Yeah. I'd half a glass of wine, and my ears were throbbing like crazy, bright red, and my toes were tingling. So I'm thinking, woo, you get all this out of half a glass of wine. That's amazing. So it makes you realise how much these things affect us.
Yeah.
You know, maybe anyone that's listening to this, if you drink alcohol, can you remember the very first time you had a drink of alcohol? And what effect it had on your system?
I can remember kind of when I was about probably 14, 15, and I was at some kind of function, and I hadn't really, and you know, I'd had little sips of beer here and there, and nothing too crazy, had a shandy, the odd shandy, but I remember going around the room, mind sweeping for the dregs of champagne that people have left, because it was obviously some kind of toast at some point.
Yeah.
And then I remember kind of half an hour later thinking, whoa, what's going on? nothing too nuts happened. My parents didn't have to take me home or anything like that. I remember thinking, okay, this is what it's all about, eh?
Yeah, weird. Very strange, you know. Maybe you get a certificate back when you haven't been drinking for a while that says you're now a virgin drinker or something.
Yeah.
Crazy. But it makes me realise, I mean, lots of people say, oh, alcohol's a poison, you know, in your system, I guess it is. You know, your system trying to eliminate it as soon as you put it in.
Yeah.
But interesting.
It's good fun, though, isn't it?
Yeah. So right, what have you been up to?
I've been having lots of fun. It was my wife's birthday, Bethan's birthday at the weekend.
Happy birthday to Bethan.
Happy birthday, B, and it's our birthday next week, but we've bleated on about that enough in the last few weeks. We'll save it to next week to congratulate ourselves.
Yeah. Ta-da.
Happy birthday to B. So we had a nice little weekend. Went to Chester Zoo. Baking hot day on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
What a place Chester Zoo is on.
How does William get on with the animals? Is he fascinated?
He's just at the right age now. He's buzzing.
Yeah.
Running around all over the show. I had a really cool encounter with a tiger, actually. Because usually they're hidden away and you can't really see them. Yeah. There was one just sitting right up against the fence. You had to kind of duck down under some bushes.
Yeah,
I was like face to face with it. Will was like spellbound. It was really cool. Yeah.
I can remember taking my eldest to the zoo when he was tiny like that. Mm-hmm. And he ran up to a parrot and said to the parrot, "Hello." And the parrot went, "Hello." And he nearly died. Last thing he expected, but really funny. Kids Surprise. Are great for that, yeah.
Yeah.
Or him looking at a giraffe from the feet upwards with his mouth open, like, wow, looking up.
Cool. I think the penguins were the favourite.
Because you got the glass wall, you can see.
Nose pressed up against it for ages. So that was good fun. Good fun.
Amazing.
We've just got a little topic to discuss this week, haven't we? We're talking about purpose.
Just a little one.
What's the purpose of life? Just a tiny little one to rattle through in half an hour easy.
Yeah.
Just a quick mention to the website. Sean's now writing weekly blog posts to accompany our podcast, so head over to liveinthepresent.co.uk to read the blog and to get all the show notes and links and freebies that we mentioned in this week's episode, and all the past stuff as well. There's a treasure trove of things on there now.
they'll be in the National Archive.
It's an interesting thing about the internet, I mean, it doesn't exist physically. Well, it kind of does, really, because it's stored on servers, but where will it all go, all this stuff, you know, in 1,000 years, where will it all be?
I've been talking to some guys over in Austria who do a lot of work at that kind of deep end of computer stuff that I don't understand, internet. But they're talking about how the internet is going to be split in two.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to start to break into different sections, you know, like social media side and then like a commerce side and stuff like that. But they're talking about, and it was interesting listening to them talking because they were talking about that they, whoever these they are, will have control over the internet. And apparently there's lots of problems with governments and the idea that people using social media to stir up civil unrest.
Yep.
And one of the things about the internet has always been that it's been this open, free, uncontrolled thing. And now we're talking about it becoming controlled.
Yeah.
And it's the them, isn't it? You know, they, whoever they are. And, like, the them, whoever's in control, I guess.
Well, yeah. It's weird. It's weird, all this Snowden stuff. Them or they isn't just one person, is it? It's this mass effect of...
Yeah.
Just brains getting together and somehow they come up with these crazy ideas about controlling and trying to monitor everything we all do.
I mean, I'm sure that there are files on all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. You know, if you go into your supermarket and you use a credit card, if you regularly use that credit card, they'll be monitoring what it is that you're buying on that credit card. That's without even having a store card.
Yep.
Isn't it? So that they know. So and always amazing when you go in the supermarket and you get these vouchers come out at the end that are appropriate to you. Mm. So they know who you are to give you things that are appropriate to you.
Yep.
You know.
They're watching.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we better be careful what we say. Are they listening or just watching?
Yeah, I bet down at Cheltenham they're listening to this now. So, hi, guys.
Hi, guys, yeah. You get on the show, you've got some real serious issues that need discussing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's just true. It's true, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what it's like to be someone who is listening in.
Yeah, why are you so controlling? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Just chill out.
maybe they are, but they could be sat there with their feet up, drinking a cup of coffee, listening to this and thinking, I'll do subversives.
Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.
Right, yeah.
All right, yeah, so we have website, livingthepresent.co.uk. Let's bash on with this week's episode, Sean. What is the purpose of life?
Well, it's really interesting, that statement, isn't it? Because I'd like to start off with the idea that there is no purpose in life.
Mm.
I cannot find a purpose in life. I travelled to find the answers, life, the universe and everything. I stayed with all kinds of groups of people. I lived with the Moonies. I did all kinds of Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist. I stayed with theosophists. I did all the fringe stuff, all the spiritualists. Even went to people that do the tarot and the I Ching and astrology and all that kind of stuff, trying to find the answer. You know, what is this all about? And the conclusion that I've come to, having done that and then having done all the psychology and the philosophy and the psychotherapy training, all that kind of stuff over many, many years, I've come to the conclusion that nobody knows.
Well,
no one has a clue.
You haven't finished searching, have you?
No, life is going on, forever. But the thing has to be, for me, lots of people create stories and myths and parables and ideas that explain it for them.
Yeah.
Every group that I ever stayed with had a book. They had a book of words, and the book of words was given to them through their main avatar figure, whoever that was, who each figure, and all of them were male, interestingly, it's a bit sexist, all of them had a direct line to God, and God had given them this book of words. The book of words has now become the rules that we live by.
Mm-hmm.
And then variations on the Book of Words. So the Jehovah's Witnesses Christian Book of Words is different to the Mormon Christian Book of Words, which is different to the regular Bible. But then we split between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism and all that kind of stuff. And it's all slightly different takes on this thing. And, like, what is it? What is it? What is it? I mean, one of the things that you said and the thing that you were talking about earlier was that... was that you know, if human beings weren't here, if we weren't here, then creation would still go on.
Yeah.
You know, it was going before human beings came, it would be going after human beings have finished.
Yeah. I like the idea of the universe being a pretty powerful thing. We had a good example of that the other night because we had an awesome thunderstorm.
Wasn't it great?
Whoa.
Absolutely fabulous. Yeah.
I haven't seen one like that.
How did Will get on with it? Did he
fell asleep. literally minutes before it kind of started going overhead, and then he didn't wake up.
Oh, well.
I was a bit upset, actually, because I quite wanted him to experience it. It's amazing.
I love it when you see that kind of sort of skyscape across the sea, and you get the...
I haven't seen forked lightning in Britain or in this in a long time.
Yeah.
Any time you see a flash out the window, I go and have a look. It's just a cool thing to see.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a storm like that in a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a little reminder of just how insignificant we are, you know.
Hmm.
You hear that raw, distant rumble of thunder, something's coming, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea of just... Yeah. And at the same time, yeah, I mean, there's stuff going on in the world now that we're... Again, people are still debating it about, you know, climate change and man-made effects on our environment. Obviously, we're doing like a lot of things that are having an impact on our weather. But I like the idea that ultimately, even if we wipe ourselves out, the world will keep spinning.
So the thing that's interesting in it all is that when it comes down to human beings or all living things, I suppose, and the idea of spirituality and the idea that is there an entity that exists beyond the body? So, and I guess that the world splits into two areas, and those people that believe that when your body dies, the consciousness is gone, and those people that believe that when the body stops working, the consciousness carries on. Whether people call that spirit, soul, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess that the fundamental consciousness of creation, whether it's manifest through human beings or dogs, cats, or snakes or ants, is still there. But whatever happens, and if consciousness carries on, if human beings die out, then that consciousness would still carry on in other forms.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess. But we're back into the nobody knows stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things that when I was checking out the whole kind of spiritualist world, which is another whole set of religious beliefs and ideas, very different to Christianity, because all of the songs that people sing in spiritualist churches, it's usually an out-of-tune piano with an old lady playing it, and the hymns were all about death, where is thy sting, you know, we've beaten you and all this kind of stuff, because the idea that, you know, spirits live on after. All those kind of, I've forgotten what I was going to say. It was really meaningful, wasn't
it's
it?
It's gone.
You'll have to cut that out.
No way, I'm leaving that in. I want the world to know this.
I was ready on a roll then.
Yeah.
I was going with something.
You were going.
And it was really good.
Life's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe that shows the meaninglessness of life.
Yeah, right there, encapsulated.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is related or not. My father-in-law, a minister, church minister, cool guy, and he went to visit another church and see someone else preach that he knew, I think. And at the end, he was chatting to an elderly lady there about a previous minister.
Yeah.
And she was saying how great this one minister was, because when he spoke, he really made you feel guilty. She loved it. And Grimber, my father-in-law, just couldn't get his head around that. You know, why would you want to feel guilty? And I don't know.
All of these different philosophies, either they're a philosophy which is about creating joy and happiness, which is one end.
Uh-huh.
If you get into like the Buddhist philosophies, it's about not being happy or sad, being flat, just being.
Okay.
Yeah. If you get into some of the Christian philosophies, certainly there is this idea about suffering, that everybody has to suffer, that there is this. Sort of travail that we have to undergo, you know, hair shirts and whips. And I can remember people telling me when I was a kid about whoever told you life was supposed to be all right, you know, whoever told you you were supposed to be happy,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. And which is a big deal, isn't it? Because a lot of modern psychology and The Secret and all that kind of stuff is about people's right for happiness.
Yep.
And it's something that we talk about. And one of your classics is, you know, whoever says you're supposed to be happy, you say that.
You know, me?
Yeah, modern
day philosopher. No, it's cool. Yeah, I've gotten here. I've said it before. I think happiness is overrated, you know. But
what is happiness?
Well, happiness in the sense of going around having with a smile on your face all the time and skipping along.
Yeah.
Because I think the real joy in life is in the hard work and the graft.
But that is the way that you see it, isn't it? Because that's the thing that you find, is that when you go out and you travel or you see lots of people and you ask them the same questions, the answer is always different. You know, what's the purpose of life? What's the meaning of life?
Yep.
And I guess it starts off with the purpose of life is you're born, you reproduce, you die. You know, it's a continuation of the species kind of stuff. And lots of people would go with that.
Yep.
Yeah. Other people, it would be about some reincarnative thing that you're building on, do with karma and dharma. Some people would look at it in terms of you either go to heaven or hell. Other people look at it in terms of legacies that you lead, whether you're leaving for other people, whether you're you become the leader of a dynasty, you know, that kind of idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it that you're passing on? Are you passing stuff on to the next generation?
Mm-hmm.
And I know lots of people that are very well off who have no intention of leaving any of their wealth to the next generation because they say, I am who I am because I had nothing and I had to work for it.
Yeah.
And I want my kids to learn that themselves. I'm not going to give them all this dosh. You know, sure. It's going to go to the cat's home.
Yeah.
You know.
Cats.
Which is good. So, okay, get down to brass tacks then.
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose of your life?
Is that to me?
Your life, yeah. When you look at it, if you think about it, why are you alive? What's going on here?
I love it when you throw these questions at me. With absolutely no preparation. It's fine. Purpose of my life, why do I get up in the morning, flip the neck? I think I'm reasonably selfless. You know, I do the things I do for my friends and family. Done the reproduction thing, cool, tick that box. But just more about having a blast with people, really, you know, having fun. And just trying to grow little by little, you know.
See, I reckon when it comes down to it, I never buy altruism. You know, in the sense.
Is that a trick question to me, by the way? You set me up for something.
Yeah. So yeah, the idea that I do things for other people, I think always doesn't work because the only reason anybody does anything, I reckon, with all the work I've ever done, is because it makes sense to them for them.
Yeah.
Even if someone is the nicest person that you could probably ever imagine,
and you
could be that guy.
I'm in the top 10. Yeah. Worldwide.
Oh, top 5.
Top 5.
I think that when you're like that, what you're actually saying is that I do this because it makes me feel like this. It makes me feel.
Well,
good.
We talked about kindness last week.
Yeah.
And it being a currency. And
yeah.
But I get a kick from being nice to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And if the purpose of life is to create happiness around you, then there's nothing wrong with that. But the primary concern has to be myself. And I think that that's where people get things fundamentally wrong, because they deny their own need. Especially women that I work with, who they've got this list of people that have to be attended to and looked after.
Yeah.
And their own needs come at the bottom of a list. Mm. And it isn't until later in life that they begin to examine that or look at that, if they do at all.
Love yourself first, hey?
And if we're looking at the purpose of life, I would say, if I'm honest, and I am.
You are.
You'd vouch for that.
I would hope so.
That when it comes down to brass tacks, my life is about me.
Yeah.
It's about me. I was born on my own. I would die on my own. And on this journey from birth to death, people have walked with me on that path. And so they've walked for a while, they've gone off, they've died, whatever they've done. Yeah. Paths have diverged, yeah.
You've pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, they've all gone, forget. They've all gone, yeah. I enjoy my life. I enjoy the people that are on the path with me. I mean, I have a really good relationship with Ree and my family. It's a really good place to be. It's a huge enjoyment to be alive.
Yep.
But that, to me, is the purpose. If you can get from birth to death with a smile on your face, and you can die with a smile on your face, you've cracked it. Yeah. I can't find any other purpose than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That it's about fulfillment. And if we're lucky, the things that fulfill us are of benefit to others.
Yeah.
So that we have this mutual fulfillment. And when we talk about the kindness thing, okay, if I look after you and you look after me, we've got a deal going.
Yeah, because I've got written down here dryly, you know, you can have as much fun hacking people's death as you can, spreading joy and happiness, can't you? If you're of a certain mindset.
If that makes it work for you. I have got hooked into, and I don't know how I did it. In fact, I do know, it was the kids that said to me, have you seen this? Which is the Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you get hooked into storylines.
I only found out a few months ago, it's not a game. I thought it was like an Xbox. That's how out of touch I am. Yeah.
But on that, and the whole story is about different people fighting and battling and kind of stuff, but you get kind of intrigued in the storyline.
This show is just more addictive than heroin, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
I've managed to avoid almost all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so well, I'm hooked in now, so I'm on series two on the catch-up thing.
Pretty racy, isn't it?
There's a lot of nudity, bottoms and boobs and and things.
I should investigate.
Yes, your eyes lit up at that point.
Yeah.
Is this the purpose of your life?
So, yeah, it's the purpose of life to consume box set DVDs.
I guess for lots of people it is, it's at different times.
If you go on Facebook, you'll find that it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And one of the things that it comes down to, when we look at the value of life, we're looking at the value of purpose. And is it more purposeful to be out digging wells for people that need water in Africa as opposed to sat at home watching a box set on the TV?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, who's making that judgment? Who's making the call? And it could be that the person who's out digging the holes is really, really pissed off and not having a good time at all, or the vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the key to me has to be, if you wake up in the morning and you feel good about getting out of bed, then you're in the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, you could be up the north face of the Eiger. You could be working in a factory, living in a tenement. It doesn't matter. It's if you wake up and you're feeling good and you want to get out of bed because you want to engage in the life that you're living, then your life is right. It's purposeful. It has meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess that the important thing is that when you get to the point where you don't want to get out of bed, and you're thinking, oh, I really don't want to do this, something's wrong with your life. The purpose is wrong. Yep. Now it's time to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, to me, is the only thing that I can find that makes sense. Yeah, I find lots of people that are lost in religion or philosophy, that are lost in ritual and observance, that are lost in books of words and ideas, and they still hate getting out of bed in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, there's something very wrong then.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Do you think maybe they're kind of, because if you're going down a path like that sometimes, because you're so far down that path of a certain faith, let's say, you're not allowed to look in other avenues, or you're not allowed to turn around and have a look at what's on the other side of the wall or anything.
Yeah. But tricky, that's the problem when a philosophy or a religion says in one form or another, this is the way, this is the only way, and if you don't come this way, then it's going to be hell and damnation.
Mm.
Yeah, and lots of faiths, religions and philosophies do that. You know, this is the way and the only way, which has to be a nonsense.
Secret, does it?
It does, yeah, it does, yeah. If the whole of that wall behind you was a jigsaw, and each bit of the jigsaw was a part of creation, then all bits belong in the jigsaw. You can't knock a bit out. You can't say that Satanists don't belong on the jigsaw, because they exist. They do. They're there. It's a part of human consciousness. We may not like it. Maybe there are parts of the jigsaw that don't like it, parts of the jigsaw that do. But that jigsaw of creation includes everything. Yeah. It includes Hitler, it includes Henry VIII and Napoleon, it includes Attila the Hun. All those people are in the jigsaw. You can't deny it.
Yeah.
Yeah? And one of the things is, like you said about hacking people together, maybe Attila the Hun was having a blast.
Hacking them together.
Hacking them apart.
Yeah.
Falling together, falling apart.
I'm sure he was. It would have been great to have been able to speak to him. What a guest he would have made.
Yeah. Probably would have chopped us up. Yeah.
He would have got very... Yeah, impatient with us very quickly, I'm sure.
But I assume that he woke up in the morning, jumped out of bed feeling good and got on with chopping people up or whatever he did.
Yeah.
Yeah? And in that sense, was his life any less purposeful than Mother Teresa's?
Mm.
You know, it's the value that we put on it, isn't it?
Just moving things on a little bit, because I can sense you getting a bit excited. So I need to just quell... Calm, no,
excited.
If people are struggling to find purpose, there are certain things they can do to find it.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing and this is from a commencement speech by Steve Jobs before he passed on, was about how it's important not to follow other people's dreams. So like we've just said, you know, one person's purpose isn't a fit all, is it?
Yep. I think it's useful to look at other people's dreams because we become quite constricted in our thinking, especially if we've come from a background or a family which is confined by religious or philosophical boundaries and limits.
Yep.
To look outside of that box and to see what other people are daring to do. And maybe that does mean reading about other people's lives or looking at what other people are doing. But there are things that I see people do or achieve in life that in the beginning they thought, I'd never do that. I will never, ever be able to achieve that. I'll never be able to do it. It didn't even come into the concept box, maybe.
Yep.
Yeah. And suddenly they're doing it. I guess it's like that with me for running. You know, I never ever thought I'd be able to run. And now I'm looking at running a half marathon and maybe a marathon.
Later in the year, half marathon now.
Yeah, and that wasn't in my concepts. It wasn't something that I would have, if someone said to me, you know, athletic, I would have just laughed. But now it's a part of what I do.
Yeah.
And if, in that way, I guess that any of us can become anything that we want to. The trick is finding the things that you want to, so you have that passionate motivation to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I suppose passion is a good word. Are you passionate about being alive? And if you're not passionate, what are you doing? Yeah, I'm not saying that you should be having sort of hysterical fits in the street and putting your passion, but having that engaged energy of like, yes, of doing what you're doing and feeling the goodness of having done what you're doing.
Yeah, we don't have to be Tim Robbins, like running around high fives and just screaming our heads off.
High fives.
We're British.
Yes, don't do high fives. What do you mean, WC?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm into passion as a key indicator of whether it's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're not feeling the passion of being alive, then what are you doing?
Well, yeah, you're missing out, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're missing out.
And that idea that maybe happiness is overrated in the sense of people are chasing the happiness stuff as opposed to living the happiness stuff. You have to be happy about what you're doing, not about what you want to do.
Yeah.
Is actually doing it. Yeah, and that idea of it's kind of jam tomorrow. I told you about that pub in London. They used to have a big sign outside that said free beer tomorrow.
Oh, free beer tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, and like and tomorrow never comes, so you never get the free beer. Yeah. But people would come back day after day to get the free beer. Great, but happiness is like that. You can't have happiness tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't happen. You have to have it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, fulfillment, passion has to be now. And if you're not feeling it, what are you doing? What on earth are you doing with your life?
Mm-hmm. Wake up.
Yeah, wakey, wakey.
Yeah, and don't listen to us, you know, what do we know? You've got to find it for yourself, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and the things that make me feel good may not make anybody else feel good at all. I mean, we talk about that a bit. It's like one of my things about I really enjoy meditation, yeah? But I wouldn't enjoy hanging off the side of a mountain, yeah? You're exactly the reverse. Yeah.
You might like it, but that I might like meditation.
Yeah, yeah. I guess with my experience of running, maybe I should come up a mountain with you.
Yeah.
Maybe I would enjoy it.
I don't know what I'm doing. I need help. Mountain guides and stuff.
Yeah, I've been working with a guy that's blind, and he does mountain climbing.
Really?
Blind since birth, and he has sighted climber with him who's telling him where to put his hands and his feet, and he's roped on.
Wow!
But he climbs all kinds of heights. And
I wonder what he sees in his mind. What he thinks the view is like.
Yeah.
That interests
me. Yeah, that idea of what does somebody see if they've never had physical sight is always fascinating.
Yeah.
Because when you talk to people that have been blind or have always been blind, and then you talk about their sense of colour and things like that, and they do have...
Yeah, they must do.
...all kinds of senses of things that are not easily understandable when you have vision. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I spend a fair bit of time down at the Royal Society of the Blind to help out there. On their board and with the digital marketing stuff. So I have some, I mean, obviously a lot of people there are, including the people that work there, are visually impaired in one sense or another.
Yeah.
A lot are kind of just can't see very well. They're not all probably blind.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, I love the amount of humour down there.
Yep.
It's the best thing. Because, you know, you just say things in everyday speech, don't you? Like, oh, good to see you. Like, you meet someone, oh, it's great to see you. And then I'll go, oh, don't. Because they can't see me.
But it amazes me how blind people do talk about, they talk in visual terms.
Yeah.
But their understanding of, I've come to see you, is a different thing to a sighted person.
Yeah.
And yet it's the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, but they're good laugh friends. Yeah. You can say something like that and they won't take huge offence.
Yeah.
Which is just as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's interesting when you get things like that, when you get people that are running charities, which you've got down there. But that idea about their purpose and their passion to run charities.
Yeah.
And if you look at any of the things that go on in the world, like aid for people that are starving, when there is some kind of disaster, earthquake going on, and we all kind of chip some money in to help these people, you know, the people that organise that, the people that give us the ability to give the money to those people are people that have a passion.
Yeah, there's a charity called Charity Water. It's a US-based charity and it's pretty high profile. And it was set up by a guy who was an events party organiser in New York City.
Yeah.
You know, 10, 15 years ago, and probably burning the midnight oil, putting things up his nose that he shouldn't, and seemingly had it all, you know, had the cars and all the girlfriends and all that stuff and hanging out with all the right people, but realised after quite a number of years that he wasn't getting anything out of it. And then over the course of a while, set up Charity Water, and now it's just a huge global, amazing charity. I like looking at it just because the design side of things is amazing, and all the emails you get from them are cool. But they've got some real high-profile people helping them out too. But the guy that set it up, there's an interview with him. There's lots of interviews with him, actually, and I'll put some in the show notes.
So what are they actually doing? What's the end result? Global water? Is it bringing water?
Bringing clean water to communities all around the world. Africa, yeah. Digging wells, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Charity Water. Awesome.
Yeah. We're going to have to get to the point where we're good at desalination.
Mm.
And using the seawater. We've got plenty of water, but all of it is accessible.
I know. Think of all the salt you have.
Yeah.
Enough salt to last your lifetime.
Yeah. On a lot of chips.
Yeah. I know. It's one of those things you can't believe. I think we kind of have figured out how to do it slowly, but not en masse.
Yeah. There are countries that do survive on desalinated water.
Mm.
It's pretty odd, though. It's like distilled water. It doesn't have any kind of taste or flavour. It's a very strange thing to drink.
That brings me nicely to a quote, which I can't say the whole quote, but it's a clip by a comedian called Bill Hicks.
Oh, right, yeah, I know. Yeah.
He kind of died younger than he should have, but left quite a legacy. And he used to end his show with a Life is a Ride thing, and I'll put there's a YouTube clip, which you got to see. I might even get the audio and put it at the end of the show so people can listen in.
Yeah.
Again, blatant disregard for copyright laws, but who cares? He's not around anymore. He won't care.
You've credited him.
Yes. But basically saying that, life's a ride and there's, you know, just enjoy it. But he says it in much more eloquent terms. And he says that there are people in the world that kind of have been on the ride so long that they're not sure if it's a ride anymore, and they kind of question whether it's a ride, and they stop us trying to enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
And he says, we kill these people. And then he says at the end, you know, tell you what we can do right now to be happy. How about we stop? This is all quite highbrow or maybe a bit cheesy, but how about we stop spending all this money on weapons and defence and instead spend it on feeding, clothing and educating the poor people of the world, which it could many times over.
Yeah.
And then we'd have real freedom and joy.
Yeah.
You try it then.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Right.
I'm with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's your ride like? If you're listening to this, did you wake up this morning with a smile on your face, feeling good about getting out of bed? And what is your ride? Because you're going to get to the end of it at some point, you know. And the trick is you have to arrive with a smile on your face.
Mm-hmm.
If you've done that, as far as I'm concerned, you've fulfilled your life's purpose. Can't do any better than that.
Yep. Indeed.
Yeah.
All right. I've got a load of quotes here, but they all kind of contradict each other. There's so many quotes about purpose. But like, I think we've just investigated. Purpose is, you know, it's good. It's, well, whatever your individual taste is.
One of these things that you put in here, when we love, we always strive to become better than we are. When we strive to become better than we are, everything around us becomes better too.
Mm.
And that's Paulo Coelho.
Yeah, he's my resource of the week. One of his books is the one from that quote.
there's something in that which you could identify as saying is true, but that assumes that you have a passion about love. And if you don't have that passion about love, then that statement becomes untrue, which is why all these things do become individual and you have to find your own.
Yeah.
What is it that gives you passion? You know, I work with all kinds of artists and creatives that are doing things that to other people would be meaningless, but they may spend hours or days working on a tiny little project, just doing things that are so minute. But they get up in the morning full of this desire to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
the thing with artists I've found is that they kind of, it's the process they love and it's not the final piece.
Yeah.
Like most artists I know, and I do a lot of work with a guy called Stephen Hitchin. He's a sculptor.
Yep.
And a good pal of mine, I went to school with his son. And he hates his work within weeks of finishing it. He makes these amazing stone blocks and marble pieces. These kind of free-form shapes. But he's so critical of his work. And I'm like, Steve, it's beautiful, it's amazing. And everyone else is, obviously. But he just, I think he just loves the feeling of just being involved in a piece of stone, just chipping away.
Yeah, I've known painting artists who are obsessed with their work when they're doing it. And when they finished it, they just chuck it on one side and onto the next one. And the person that makes the money is the person that goes and sells it. And they're stuck in a garret painting, but that's what they
want
to do.
That's what they want.
It's their passion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the money. That's not interested in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, resources?
Yeah, I'll go first then. The quote from Paulo Coelho was from a book called The Alchemist, which I haven't read in a while, but I think that's a good one to read for this week's homework, shall I say. It's about a young man who heads off to find his destiny after having a few dreams about things. Ends up in the desert and all sorts of stuff, but it's a classic, man. I think it was written in the late 80s and it's been translated into 56 languages. You got to read it, man.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful book.
Yeah.
The Alchemist.
Yeah. Mine is a book called The Passion Test. The subtitle is The Effortless Path to Discovering Your Destiny. And it's a book that rebuilt me after we'd played a lot around with The Secret and stuff, and we were talking about different ways of looking at it. Mm-hmm. And one day she presented me with The Passion Test. And when you read it, it has a bit of a kind of a godly bit in it, I think, really, when you look at it. But somehow it's The Secret with more integrity. Like the Secret tends to be about... tailored towards the idea of kind of money and wealth and possession.
Yeah.
And The Passion Test is a much more, dare I use the word, spiritual kind of event. But so it's another take on that idea. But you can take The Passion Test. You know, what is it that makes you passionate, that lights your fire?
Yeah.
So if you're looking at life's purpose, it's a good place to start.
We should have just mentioned that at the start and then ended the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably does a much better job.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Nice one, Sean. Nice one. Next week is a big week because we celebrate our 1-year anniversary for the Self Love podcast. How about that?
Amazing. I think we'll have a cake. People in the street singing happy birthday.
Do you think your mother-in-law could...
Pam, for us? Pam the cakes.
One of the red velvet cakes that she does.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you enjoy that.
Incredible. Incredible. Yeah. But we're going to be talking about growing old and how to grow old gracefully.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Looking forward to that because it's been quite a ride over the last year. So we'll talk about where we've been, where we're going, all that stuff as well.
Been amazing.
Yeah, here we are. In the meantime, go to the website liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the links to that we've just discussed and some... plenty of other things too, lots of freebies if you put your email address in the box. Share this show with a friend if you could. We're still trying to grow our audience desperately. Well, we're not desperate, are we?
We're passionate.
We take listeners.
We're growing our audience passionately.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, share the link with someone if you think they're going to enjoy it. We'd be hugely appreciative. Or leave a review on iTunes if you could, and we'll read it out in the following week's show. And in the meantime, have yourselves a good, passionate, and purposeful week.
Yeah. And a happy new year. Yep.
See you later, Sean.
You take care. See you.
Bye. Bye.